that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Make sure we get these buttons pushed here. And I think we got the guys on the line here. Let me get these buttons pushed. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I think we'll let Kyle sleep in this morning. He's doing a little road trip. And but we're here this morning at the Radio Ranch coming to you live. And oh, I don't even know what day it is. It's the last Saturday, the 28th, the last Saturday in September 2013. And we're glad to be here. And oh, the sun's peeking its head up behind the barn. We'll have some sunshine here at the Radio Ranch in just a minute. But we'll open up with prayer. We've got the phone lines opened, and we'll just see where we go this, oh, this beautiful little frosty day this morning, about 32 this morning. But we better open up with prayer first. And Jason, do you want to open us up in prayer, sir?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon this radio broadcast. We pray that you guide us and direct us. Give us the words to speak, Father, and let us be a blessing to the saints, your people across
yes.
this land, Father. We pray that we can be a blessing to them, and pray, Father, that we can be a blow to Satan and his kingdom. We pray that you continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do, and bless our hands with the labors that we do. We pray that full armor of God on upon us. We pray that you give us the strength to endure the race that's put before us. We pray that you be with the remnant across this land. We pray that you see to it that their needs are satisfied and that they're guided with the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, and for more of that Holy Spirit in our lives as we're continuing to rely upon it more. And we ask that you guide us and direct us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And there's plenty going on out in the world. Check all the broadcast buttons here, and plenty going on just everywhere. And I'll turn it down to you guys. John, how are things going with you? How you see things going with that Colorado flood cleaning up a little bit?
Yeah, it looks like they're making some progress. I think Highway 34 will still be shut down till probably after winter. But Estes Park is the town, I guess, has opened up again, at least part of it. And there's one way in, I think.
Yeah, I heard they got Highway 7
6 or something. What's that?
Yeah. 7.
7. Highway 7? Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of people that are hurting. There's that one group that I believe is genuine and called Mercy Chefs that provides hot meals to people in these disasters in Texas and all that. And one thing that I do believe in supporting, especially now that it's here local and people in Texas are our people. And so,
oh, awesome.
The interesting thing is you don't hear a bunch of people crying out for Visa cards and trying to get 2 and 3 of the same cards and demanding that FEMA come in and give them money right away to survive. You know, our people are different. They count on each other.
And you really seeing that come out, huh?
Yeah, and I'm sure some of them are turning to God, you know. But unfortunately, for the most part, even our people, I think, have replaced God with government. And instead of hitting their knees and crying out to God, they're putting their hand out to FEMA.
No doubt. No doubt. I know it seems like it's in the national news, but it seems like it's almost just gone away. You don't hear, you don't see much anymore on at least on the websites of the national news.
Yeah. But you talk about what did it end up being, like a 10 death toll or something?
I think 8 or 10.
That's the mercy of God, you know. It's uh-huh. just another warning, but whether the people will heed that warning, it's hard to say.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. Well,
and the difference is, I mean, you know, that a lot of people really don't realize is, you know, the reason that you don't have the outcry for FEMA and for gift cards and for, you know, millions of dollars worth of trailers brought in for people to sleep in, and you don't get this national coverage all over the place, and you don't have fundraisers in every town across the country, is because of the race of the people. You know, I mean, you look at what happened down there with Hurricane Katrina. You know, they had every little town that you went into, you heard about it. You know, it was the talk of the town about what was taking place with this hurricane, and there was places to give donations for it. And I mean, it was you know, this flood. I still talk to people, and they're like, "Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know anything about it. You guys are getting flooded out there. What are you guys getting, a lot of rain or something?" You know, because of, I mean, that's the difference on the national coverage. You know, but if we had, you know, how many black people, homeless black people, unemployed black people living in Estes Park or Loveland, Colorado, it'd be a completely different story.
You're a racist.
I got an email last night. This one was kind of interesting. It says, "Democracy and racism explained." A black kid asks his mother, "Mama, what is a democracy and what is racism?" "Well, son, democracy is when white folks work every day so we can get all our benefits. You know, like free cell phones for each family member, rent subsidy, food stamps, WIC, free health care, utility subsidy, and on. You know, that's democracy. But mama, don't the white people get PO'd about that? Sure they do. That's called racism."
Yeah, sad but true.
It is very true. It is absolutely true. You know, did anybody hear about the guy back in let's see, I think it was June, in Greenville, North Carolina, shooting 4 people? He shoots one person, and he goes to a Walmart parking lot, and he shoots a total of four people, shot more than 100 rounds of ammo, shooting people outside a law firm. You know, didn't hear about that, but and also at a Walmart. I didn't hear anything about it. I got a little news blurb yesterday. I guess the guy now is in jail. His name is Faust. He was black, and he says he picked out his victims based on their race. Now, earlier reports had indicated that he was shooting indiscriminately. Right? That's the first thing they put out. But they said that basically he picked out his victims because they were white. Now, just remember, folks, you heard Jason's description of racism. Now, this is not a hate crime. If a black man picks out four white people and shoots them because they're white, that's not a hate crime. See, that's a love crime. And that, as part of his culture, would it be appropriate to call it a culture crime because it's just part of his culture to do that, to pick out people of a different race and shoot them because they're white?
Well, see, the problem was he didn't use an AR-15 that he purchased legally. Otherwise, we would have heard about it.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about what they said in that, I'm just kidding, by the way. But anyways, what you hear about in that Navy Yard shooting, the first thing you heard was that he has an AR-15 and was purchased legally, you know, before they even know what's going on. Yeah. Turns out it's
a
sawed-off
shotgun. Going on to that shooting, you know, you notice with all these
black
shootings
guy, you
they've
about
taken,
that.
Taken place is that... usually the first day they spend it looking for the other shooter. This last, you know, with this Naval Yard shooting, they spent the whole day looking for the other shooter.
Two other
and
shooters,
Then you didn't hear a word about it. Well, then we decided that he was the only one.
Oh, yeah, they'd already cuffed and grabbed a white guy.
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah, the day before the guy was done shooting, they already had a white guy cuffed up. He was probably the only white guy with a gun running to try to help. But yeah, they did arrest a white guy and then they came back and said
he didn't get shot.
Yeah, and then came back and said no, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't he didn't have anything to do with the shooting.
Well, you know, you don't hear much about that either. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because it was a black shooter.
Yep. And it's just like this one in Greenville. You know,
go ahead with that one.
Oh, just that. I didn't hear anything about that, you know, and I, you know, with our contacts and the people, the thousands that send us emails and news blurbs and, you know, send things to Jason and to Tim for the SFA Newswire and all that kind of stuff, you would think we would have heard something about this, but nope. They bury it. They bury it deep if they report on it at all in the media. Because it doesn't promote, you know, the agenda that they want to put out that, you know, the evil white European man, he's to blame for everything. Anyway, go ahead, Jason.
Well, just, I mean, you look at all these different things that have taken place. All of them have had situations where if you look into it, they've always been looking for someone else. They've always been trying to find another shooter. They've always been trying to, you know, track down the other people, and then they shut it up, and then you don't hear another word about it.
Well, even if there was another one, they don't want to find Tyrone's brother.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the other interesting thing, you mentioned that, you know, the president doesn't come out and say this black shooter here, you know, he looks like my brother. This could have been my brother that was out, you know, that shot 12 white people in D.C.
That, you know, that's funny.
You know?
That was the first thing that I thought of when I saw him up there on the, the TV screen. I'm like, there's one of Obama's kids.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, you don't hear that kind of stuff. And see, that just shows you how absolutely stupid and ludicrous our president is. And the comments that when he's left on his own to come up with stuff, the just insane stuff he comes up with, because you would think that if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. You know, that's isn't that something called fair? Isn't that what they always push? oh, you know, we need desegregation, and separate is not equal, and we need to be fair with everybody. Okay, well, where are you at, Obama? Where, you know, how come you're not saying this black shooter? I didn't hear you talking about the black shooter in Greenville. Oh, if I had a cousin, that'd be my cousin.
Well, and you know what really was interesting and almost disturbing, because, you know, here he comes, they come out, they find this guy, he does all this shooting, they arrest, or he's dead. But then everybody, you look at the news headlines, and all the news headlines that I was looking at that first day was talking about what a great guy he was. It was sickening to look at, because, oh, he was a good person. He meditated. He was learning this. He was learning that. He helped this. He helped that.
Yeah, he was a Buddhist.
And it's like, okay, guys, well, you know, you guys were going to come on national television and talk about what a great guy he was. Well, I guarantee you there's some family members out there that
disagree.
Don't think he's so great. So why don't you just shut up?
Yeah, but see, they're not going to go interview the family members. You know, they have their, you know, his 10th grade teacher, who's also a well, the guy wasn't Muslim. Who'd he worship? Buddha or something like that? Wasn't he a Buddhist?
Yeah, he was a Buddhist, yeah.
So a false god. You know, if you read any of Richard Hoskins' old newsletters and stuff, you see these false gods, these religions of the East. They're I think you said it one time, John, they're all cousins or something like that. They're all the same. You made a real good point in, I think, the last Dragon Slayer newsletter. You got Christianity on one hand and everything else on the other.
Those that are for the kingdom of Jesus Christ and those that are against it, period.
Right. Amen. Well, guys, let's see. It's a little early, but we got a phone call here. Let's open up the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I got a praise testimony report and a question. Which would you like first?
Oh, the praise report first, by all means.
Well, after we prayed about 2 weeks ago, I got a job right away. Didn't even finish the interview. He was like, "You're the one I want."
Praise the Lord.
Already gotten another raise. And after the miscarriage, wife's pregnant again.
God is good, isn't he?
Everything works out.
It does.
Amen. Romans 8:28.
I have a question about the law. Now, I remember, you know, back, you know, in the stories about Jezebel and Ahab, is that her husband's name?
Yes.
Yeah.
That, you know, about the vineyard. And he wanted to, you know, expand his operation. And the guy was like, "Oh, God forbid that I should, you know, trade the, you know, the land of my fathers." Now, I know all that, you know, land was granted to them under, you know, a God-given kingdom. It wasn't just something he went out and, you know,
right,
bought. But I've got a chance to sell a piece of property to one of my neighbors that my grandfather had purchased, well, actually my great-grandfather, and to use all that money to get a place up in the hills and get far away from all this crazy town. And I'm trying to figure out about where we are in relation to, you know, the laws of, you keep your inheritance. You don't sell the land. You don't. I'll hang up and listen to you all discuss that.
Well, just stay on.
Is it a ranch or a farm? Or?
Stay on the line for a minute. Yeah, John had asked, is it more in town, the land that you have?
Well, when I first moved here, I had, you know, 7 acres that was supposed to never be touched. It was owned by a church behind me. And I moved out of the city to come here to, you know, raise my children. But the 7 acres turned into 354 condominiums and 170 townhomes, shopping center across the street, and now I'm about the only one that's not commercial property or one of these cookie-cutter crack houses.
Yeah, I think if it's self-sustaining, you know, like a farm or a ranch, and it's been in the family for years and years, then it's I think you probably should hold on to it just because of the times that are coming. But if it's a piece of property in a commercial area and you can make some money on it and buy something that's self-sustaining for your family, and then that piece of property that's self-sustaining is the one that you need to leave for an inheritance to your kin.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking. They're going to give me, you know, suitcases full of cash, and I can take that money and go up into the mountains and buy a farm and a ranch and some shepherding and
farming. I would think that we'd agree with you on that, and we certainly agree.
I don't know biblically. Jason, you got any thoughts?
No, I mean, as an inheritance, you're the one that's in charge. You've inherited it. The way I understand it is, you know, that you're the patriarch of that family. That's your decision to make. So,
yeah, and you're to be a good steward of what God's given you.
What I would recommend is don't do anything without prayer. If you've been praying about it, you feel like that's the way that the Lord's leading you.
I've been praying for that. You mind if we join together real quick? Or gathered in his name.
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, Heavenly Father, we ask for you to guide this brother. Lord, he wants to do things. He's doing kingdom thinking. He's wanting to think along the kingdom lines and biblically, Lord. So we ask for your grace and mercy and direction to be upon him. Lead him, Father. Give him the wisdom to know that, Lord, he wants to honor his fathers, his grandfathers. Lord, he wants to be honorable, and he praises you. So guide and direct him. Give him the thoughts to think. Open the doors, Lord, and whichever way it goes, Father, let him know that it's of you and that it's pleasing to you. And Lord, we know that that is kingdom thinking. It's putting you first, seeking your will first in all that we do. And so, Lord, we pray it, and we thank you for the good answer you're going to give him and the direction that you're going to send him in. And we give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
So thanks again. Another wonderful morning.
All right.
Have a great day, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you. All right. Yeah, my first thoughts on that, guys, would be, yeah, you know, your land has changed to where the town is grown out, and you certainly don't want to live there. That would be an instance, I think, that inheritance was... you know, you could change that from the land to the money and then go and start another one. Like you were saying, John, I like how you put that, a self-sustaining piece of property that would, you know, be a little bit better for all involved, you know,
right.
Out in the country versus in a condominium.
The big thing is if you sold that property and then you went and bought a yacht and, lived high on the hog and then blew that inheritance, then that's where it would be against God's law.
Right. And you know that happens so many times. People get a little bit of money and they just, you know, they just well, they have no sound wisdom or guidance in it with what to do.
Yeah, so many times inheritances are just blown by one generation. But it's a discipline too, not to try to capitalize that for your own gain, and to consider the next generations. That's a discipline. That's a discipline that our pastor had, and taught our people that, and I'm grateful for it.
Amen. Amen. And that's it's a different way of thinking. You know, the thinking today is just, you know. You know, if you make it, live high on the hog. How many times do you see the bumper stickers on the motorhomes? You know, we're spending our children's inheritance, and it's almost like a pride thing. You know, you shouldn't be out there spending your children's inheritance. You know, blessed is the man who leaves something for his grandchildren. But it's just a mocking. You know, it's like the no fear that's out there, the stickers. Well, guys, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Regarding the last caller and land inheritance, I think it's past the point where a piece of land has to be generational in the new covenant, and even beyond that, that instance of I guess the guy was name his name was well it was Ahab, right, that took the Jezebel took the property. Well, that was the old land, and it all has changed now, and you have to think in terms of, you know, where how far back do you begin? You know, how far back do you go to find the original land inheritance?
Yeah, it's different today. We don't have the land inheritance today like it was then. You know, the tribes were separate. Uh-huh. You knew that you were of of Dan or Judah or whatever it was. It's not like that today. And the Bible tells us not to worry about those endless genealogies, you know.
And also, even more than that, who really owns the land in Babylon today, you know?
Right.
I mean, if I go and take, you know, this is the kingdom. Well, why don't I just go live across the street?
Yeah.
I think it's like I hate to call it splitting hairs, but.
It's a little different now. Yeah, you can't just go look at that one example and say, well, you can never sell land. That's not the principle that's being taught there. Well, Joe, thanks a lot. We got another caller here. We'll try to get to that.
Okay. Well, quick radio check is early in the morning. It's very hard to get you on the shortwave until you switch over to 9480,
mm-hmm.
and comes in crystal clear like right now.
Well, good. So, yeah, as the seasons change.
Have a good morning.
All right, thank you.
All right, see ya.
And I know Jason has sent me an email that the shortwave frequency times will be changing. I think that's what, the end of October or beginning of November, something like that.
I can't remember the exact date.
Yeah, I don't have it here in front of me.
With the daylight changing, we're going to have to change, and that's why, like, what Joe's talking about, he's experiencing there, and it's because of daylight hours versus daylight hours. We're into that transition, and you know, we're changing an hour earlier so that we do switch over to that other frequency earlier, which, you know, being that it's getting it's staying darker longer. It'll that'll be able to carry that signal out farther.
Yeah. Excuse me. And, Carl, we'll get right to you, but just to let you know, people, we do put that broadcast schedule in the Dragon Slayer newsletter. And so if you get your Dragon Slayer newsletter, it's also on the website at scriptures4america.org. But we will be updating that and... with those times and frequencies, you know, it goes between frequency 9.480 and 5.830. And so we'll be updating that in the next Dragon Slayer newsletter, so keep your eyes out for that. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. This is Tom in Texas again. How are you all this morning? Good to hear you.
Good. Doing well, Tom.
How are you doing?
Well, not bad. You all talking about Aaron Alexis, and they, you know, the media says he was a Buddhist and everything. What I've read, he's also the little gangster type, and, you know, in my line of work, I've had to see and know of a lot of people like that. And I remember Kurt Wilson's program on Muhammad and telling about the life of Muhammad and the nature of Islam and everything, where Muhammad was a pick and choose type. He would hear something about all the different religions and everything that he was exposed to, and he used that to make his own. I mean, this Aaron Alexis is definitely like a carbon copy of the of Muhammad, you know, because I don't believe a Buddhist would do something like that. Now, that's every bit the MO of a Muslim, especially after the head of Al-Qaeda overseas called for those types of activities. Just like, and coincidentally, the night before that happened, the head of Al-Qaeda right here, Obama Biden, you know, called for new gun control laws the night before that incident. Just putting some two and twos together on that. I don't, you know, just because somebody goes and sits in a church pew doesn't make them a Christian, or walks into a pet store, it sure doesn't make them a cat.
Right.
Yeah, my position, though, is if you're not, you know, if you're not in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then you're against it, and they're all of the synagogue of Satan, all the other religions that are not, that do not proclaim Jesus Christ as their king. That's my position.
But I was stationed overseas and knew, I knew a lot of Buddhists and everything, and I mean, I just, having read some of the nature of their religion, that isn't typically something, that's something that... He to me, he's just a carbon copy of what Muhammad is, and the gangster types, they pick and choose, and here in some of them, like the black Muslims, especially in the prison, when they're allowed to have their own little service, and they get up like they're their own preachers, and they're calling each other God. I mean, that I'm God, and you know, whatever. I mean, it's insanity, just like the Aaron Alexis poster child for insanity. Of whatever ideology it happens to be from, indirect,
to the middle.
That he was just a genuine nutter, direct, that he was a Manchurian candidate.
There's ties to the Middle Eastern religions and Asia religions, and all that's all tied together.
It is. It is. But yeah, Tom, I'd have to agree with you. It sure seems like just a copycat. Just I mean, it's what we've seen these radical Muslims do all over.
Like the Taliban in Afghanistan was said to have blown up a statue of Buddha. And, you know, when the Muslims get control of the country, you know, just like you see in ours, there's no longer, as they get more and more control of in our country, there's no more any, you know, freedom of religion of any kind. I mean, Christians and everyone will be persecuted against, probably with the exception of Jews, since they're bosom buddies.
Yeah. Well, and there you can bet your boots and throw in your spurs that they are the unseen third party behind all of this. They're the ones that are financing it. They're the ones that are saying, hey, let's you and him fight. And they make money
all
the time on it.
All the isms of the first four seals, Zionism, communism, socialism, capitalism, commercialism, fascism, you know, the white, red, black, and green, those are also, you know, Esau, Edom, the rider, and all four flying colors of Islam and on Muslim nations' flags. That's the color of the flags, and all four colors are on the Syrian flag and the Iraqi flag, just for vexillology and the semiotics and meanings of colors, and everything has a meaning that's whether placed on emblems or currency and things of that nature.
Right.
Oh, you want to hear the $64 million question?
Sure.
Why does Michelle Obama wear high heels?
I don't know, Tom. Why does Michelle Obama wear high heels?
So her knuckles don't drag.
Okay.
How can I say that?
Yeah. Hey, Tom, thanks for the call. We'll try to get one more caller in.
God bless y'all.
Thank you. Bye. And, well, that's an interesting one. Well, let's try this other caller here. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. This is Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you doing this morning?
Abundantly blessed.
That's wonderful, man. That is wonderful. I continue to keep in my prayers every day.
We sure appreciate that, Kevin.
Yeah, I hope this isn't a bad platform to mention this or out of place, but I'd like to encourage you to have a longer Wrangler's Coffee in the morning sometime. And I would say the sooner the better. I was making a suggestion like that a year or two back. Oh, maybe a year. Have a long morning one, like 3 hours sometime. It gets chopped off in 1 hour sometimes. Yeah, just to say variety.
Sure.
Our pastor had variety. We had the Halloween parties. We had all those sorts of things. And moving around. That's what I wanted to bring up today.
What it takes is audience participation to make it,
right?
You know, to make it work. So,
right.
When callers call in, time goes fast, and things are getting that people want to know and hear. And so.
Yep, that's really what it takes. It is, and we put that out to you. We sure appreciate that call, Kevin, and we put that out to you, the remnant. That we opened up the phone lines about 12 after today, and so that gives us almost the entire program to answer questions and to go in all different areas. And you know, that's really how Coffee with the Wranglers is. You know, we open up, we have prayer, we've got our coffee and our Bible, and where we go from there, who knows? You know, who knows? It's really as the Holy Spirit leads, and we do end up covering many different subjects. Maybe just a reminder out there to Kevin and the remnant. You know, this is our Saturday morning too. You know, and we've all got slam full plates for the rest of today. To try to get a few things done that are work related, that are ministry related, but maybe a couple of family things as well, and then to get ready for church tomorrow. And so I know it wouldn't bother me to sit here and drink coffee for 2 or 3 hours and talk to the remnant and have good fellowship and all that, but there's things to do.
Yeah,
things to do.
Well, along those lines, there is variety coming as we continue to uncover things from the vault of Pastor Peter's treasures. We'll continue to share those with the remnant. Got something that's going to start coming up here on Monday nights that'll be radio programs that were recorded live from years ago. And Lord willing, that'll start to come out. I think Jason's just about ready to release the DC Street Sorcery 2, and we got some plans to combat the Devil's High Holy Day Halloween this year, so stay tuned, and we're grateful for the support that allows us to keep doing, standing in the gap, because that's what we're doing. We're standing in the gap.
Amen. Amen. And continuing to get new books out of the pastor's sermons. And it's one thing, and we're certainly hearing from the remnant and experiencing in our own lives that when we go back and see these Sunday sermons that were recorded sometimes 20 years ago, we're seeing how prophetic they were then, and also just how they've come true now. Repetition is the key to learning, and we hear that from many of the remnant, just how, you know, oh yeah, I heard this on the tape ministry 22 years ago, but seeing it today and having a life experience of the last 20 plus years, and then seeing and hearing this, there's new applications to these Bible scriptures and this preaching that our pastor did.
Yeah.
Saw another.
Going back to,
sure, go ahead, John. No, go ahead.
Well, going back to the religious, different religions and stuff, if you look into the Affordable Act Care, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, they've already made provisions for several religions, and we heard about this several years ago through that Dimitude, which exempts Muslims because insurance is considered gambling risk-taking, which it is, really. But anyways, the Amish culture is exempt because they have their own system of payment, and Christian Scientists are exempt because they do not believe in going to doctors but pray for healing, and if it doesn't happen, that they die. Well, now they're saying that Christians may have an exemption, which, I mean, we know we do, but, and that being sorcery and pharmakia. So I thought that was kind of interesting that there some Christians are starting to bring up these points. Personally, I just say no, but
yeah,
in the real world, we have to be wise as serpents, and those that own businesses and things like that, I'm talking to several business owners, they're talking about just paying the fines, being much less than having to comply with the the mandates.
Right. And, you know, you're seeing also even some not-so-small businesses are, you know, it because now it's hitting them in the pocketbook. And so we're seeing businesses make changes. Just recently, in the last 2 weeks in the headlines, we've seen Walgreens, which is they're growing out here in the West, but back East, they're everywhere. They're on every third street corner back East. And, you know, they made a huge change. They were covering the insurance for their employees, and they made a change to where they said, okay, they're going to give their employees $500, and that's going to go towards them getting their own you know, benefit package under this Obamacare. Huge difference. And that, you know, that may get something for them now, but, you know, in 3 years, when the costs have tripled, that's not going to help them out a whole lot. But the company is seeing that that's what they've got to do.
Right. What they said is that they're actually companies, if they follow the letter of the law, they have to insure the employee, but not his family.
Right.
And the companies that have, and just like you're saying, the companies that have insured families along with the employee, they don't have to do that anymore. So in reality, what they're doing is increasing the number of uninsured.
They are. And that's the whole idea, because if your if your company drops your insurance on you, oh, well, just come over here and see your good old Uncle Sam, because we'll do something for you. And it pushes that dependence on this ungodly government, you know, more and more. Another couple of big companies that have followed suit, Home Depot and UPS, are both huge companies that have done that very thing that you said, John, that they've dropped spousal coverage and family coverage, and, you know, they're working in, you know, they've got the bean counters as well in those companies, and they've got the shareholders that, you know, they talk about wanting to, you know, keep a viable company and be able to pay the shareholders and keep their stock up. And so they're doing that very same thing. They're saying, hey, wait a minute, we're going to have to cut here, and we're going to have to cut there.
Not only that, they're cutting their hours down below full-time, so they don't even have to provide health insurance.
They are. They are.
So you can work 29 and a half hours.
Yeah. And then they keep you at a true part-time, whereas you had many of these businesses that, you know, the people could work 30 or 40 hours a week, and the businesses could afford and had been providing some type of insurance or health care. But, yeah, this you know, these new guidelines, you know, in the, what, 18 or 2,200-page Obamacare book, you know, most people don't even know what's in there, but there's been enough seen in there.
1,000 pages or something.
Yeah, by these companies that, and we're seeing it, and, you know, you're going to see more. You're going to see more and more companies doing that very thing. And, you know, for the...
what's amazing is you talk to these people, and that's one of the things that people go without a lot of things, but they are so conditioned that they cannot live without health insurance.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing.
It is.
You know, if you don't have health insurance, what are you going to do? I mean, and I'm talking about not, you know, healthy people that you know, don't have anything wrong with them.
But they're scared.
Just worry to death.
That's right.
About doing anything without health insurance.
Right.
And look what they've done to us with auto insurance, you know. They've conditioned the people that, oh, you have to have this, you know.
And if you want to go get new tags for your vehicle, even in little old Laramie, Wyoming, you better have insurance on your vehicle, because they're, I think, the last state to go online to where they match your VIN number up to make sure that you have an insurance policy covering that. Because before, and it's only been in about 2 years, but before you just had to sign your card. Yeah, I got insurance, you know, and whatever. And they would accept your signature, but not anymore. Nope, now it's... you know, now
you must have your papers in order, comrade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what so many don't realize is that there is health and life assurance out there that is so much better than the health and life insurance. But when you abide in Christ, and when he abides in you, you can have that assurance. And that overrides the need for the insurance. So, well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How are things down south?
That's a beautiful morning here outside working on my chicken pen, and I was listening to other caller, and I'm getting to use my Saturday morning while listening to y'all, and I guess I felt kind of guilty to not participate whenever you said about the participation. But I do have something I'd like for y'all to talk on a little bit. I've got what's supposed to be really good health insurance through my job, and it has been weighing on me because the more we get into the different tools that we have for healing, the oils and the vitamins, and I mean definitely prayer first before anything else, it's really been weighing on me to get rid of that insurance. And I was wondering biblically if any of you knew any scriptures. I'm sure one of y'all has had to search it out, but any examples for us pertaining to insurance and whether or not it's scripture?
I've not been able to find anything on either way. You know, I mean, we got close as I could find was scriptures on trusting in the Lord. You know, and but is a person in sin for having health insurance? No, they're not. You know, and, you know, is somebody more righteous that has it that doesn't have it, or doesn't have it that has it? No. It's, that's not what it's about at all.
My gut feeling is that it's a slap in the face of Jesus Christ, because we should be depending on him instead of trying to have that safety blanket in case he doesn't, you know, safety net in case he doesn't come through.
Yeah, I've had the same feeling, Josh. I'm kind of in the same predicament as you. But the reality is, even having good insurance,
the law is coming up, and you don't know if you can get rid of what you got, then it's going to cost you more to not be, have to deal with the Obama stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that was Pastor Peter's position. You know, the only reason he kept insurance, at least vehicle and things like that, was because it was, you know, it was a necessity. You got to be wise as a serpent, but and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to just dictate, you know, exactly every aspect of our lives.
Why?
Yeah, they do. They do.
But and praise be to the Lord, we're learning, we're finding out new truth, and He's given us those keys to unlock all the things that have been hidden from us for so long.
Amen.
And we're taking it back. And they know they don't have a prayer.
I'd say what Jason said, just pray about it, you know, and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. And what I see happening really is that even if you have insurance through a company or whatever, the price is going to go so astronomically high that, you know, you're going to have two choices, basically, to either pay the fine or just claim that you belong to Jesus Christ and I'm not in your kingdom. And I think that's going to be the two choices, and God's bringing us to that point, I think.
The thing that myself and my family have been working on diligently is, no matter what the ailment or the situation or whatever, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't go grab a peppermint oil, you know. Pray about it first and have him to lead you what to do.
Right.
Because he's not going to steer you wrong.
Yep. That's part of that obedience that we got to master before he can punish their disobedience.
That's right. That's right. You all have a great day.
Thanks, Josh. You too.
Good talking to you, Josh.
And guys, the phone lines are ringing off the hook here. Let's see if we can get one of the callers on. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Is that me, Richard?
That is.
Hi, this is Becky in Minnesota.
Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a quick point because I know there's other callers here, but I remember last week the pastor in his sermon, he was talking about the gods of Egypt. He made a quick reference of that, and he explained how it came out that God was actually punishing Egypt with their own gods when he took our people out of Egypt. And I just wanted to make a quick reference because it occurred to me that, I don't know the way the rest of the country is, but in Minnesota here, I mean, there is people after people. I mean, I've heard it myself. What are you going to do without health insurance? And I said, well, I rely upon God, you know? But anyway, it occurred to me that that's exactly, I believe, what God's doing right now is punishing the people with their own gods. through this, what they call law of the land on TV. Ooh.
Yeah. Well,
so
good point.
I just thought I would make that point, and you guys have a good weekend now.
All right, Becky. Thank you. You do also.
Thank
hey,
you. Goodbye.
Becky, I got your email. I will be responding to it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Oh, maybe one more. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, good morning. This is Robert out here in California, home of the Rim Fire. I'm sure you've heard of that, huh? We had a big third largest fire out here in California just in the last month.
Oh, yeah, over by outside of San Francisco, threatening their water and all that, or was that a different
one? Yeah, well, we're the watershed of San Francisco.
Okay.
Up here in the Sierras.
Right.
By Yosemite.
Right.
Yeah, and it is, if we get bad rains, it will affect their water pretty, you know, it won't be good for them. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well,
I wanted to comment.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we be praying for rain?
That's right.
Hey, the Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But I wanted to comment on the caller with the property. It sounds to me like, the first caller you had, it sounds to me like a blessing in disguise. And our preacher taught us to, we are living in a Babylonian system, and sometimes some of those laws, we have to do our best to follow them. But it, just a word of encouragement for him, if he gets a suitcase full of money for that and move on, I'd say, you know, he's taking his, he's still, you know, holding on to his inheritance, obviously.
Exactly.
Right.
If that makes sense. I mean, that's, you know, kind of where we're at right now in this society. We have to.
Right, it
do our
does.
Very best, you know.
And then he can go and create an inheritance for him and his family and his children and grandchildren and on down the line. Something
he doesn't want to raise those kids by strip malls and, you know, condos and all. You know, if he can get out of that, more the better. Not that if you're stuck in those areas, I mean, do your best, but it sounds like he can get out. That's a good thing.
Amen.
Yeah, as long as you don't just take the money and blow it, that's the big thing.
Right.
He has to better his position for his family. Like you said earlier, that seems to be the sign of the times here is what everyone's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what they're taught.
And all this health care and all this talk, everything, wouldn't that fall under wars and rumors of wars, what the Bible told us about? Is that's a giant war going on, you know? You guys talk about the war on poverty, war on drugs. Now we got the war on health care. So let not your hearts be troubled for all those people out there.
Amen.
What else are you going to do?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. On all those laws, we know the greatest one's faith. It can overcome them all. And, you know, hey, wake up every morning, be glad that you're on the right side of the ground, and keep praying.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Guys. Hey, thanks for everything you do.
Thank you.
God bless you.
And you. And, very good comments. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Joe again. I wanted to say this in very hushed tones so the wrong people don't hear it. But guys and gals that are listening out there, the remnant, it seems that the supply of ammunition is slowly trickling back into the former avenue. So I just wanted to give a little heads up on that to people who are interested.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
And who says we don't get variety here? From healthcare to faith to ammo. Let's see where we can go on this caller. Hey, good morning, caller. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning. This is Kurt in Oklahoma. And I was just listening to the fellow that had the farm and wanted to move somewhere else.
Right. Now, Kurt, if you got your radio on in the background, you got to cut that off.
Oh, let me get that
real quick. That'll start squealing. We get that feedback, and just a reminder, callers, if you do call in, you got to get your you can't turn it down. You got to get it turned off, or we get a real bad feedback. That's called live radio, and that's how it works. So go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, what I was going to say was that this sometimes when you're searching, I've just been through this kind of thing, and sometimes you're a little reluctant to give up your property before you're going to somewhere else. And what he can do if he finds a good real estate agent that finds it for him, or he finds something he wants, and he can do it himself. Actually, doesn't need an agent, but you do need an intermediary. And what you do is a 1031 exchange, which means that you swap your property to somebody who wants your property, and that money then goes toward the property you want, and then you might have to add a little bit of money to it, and then you get your property, and you know what you're getting in the trade.
Okay.
Does that avoid the taxes?
There's some very specific rules about it. I would suggest to get a CPA for that, but that might help him around if he's a little, you know, because what do you want to do? End up with a bundle of cash and no property to go to.
Right. Good point.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for the advice.
Bye.
Yeah, another point that people haven't really quite realized yet, too, is that as you sell your property, once this Affordable Health Care Act kicks in, 3.5% of that sale goes to Obamacare.
Right. Yeah, because like Jason said early on, you know, he pointed out to us, who's paying for this Obamacare? Do you think the illegal aliens that get Medicare and get health coverage, do you think they're paying for it? Nope. Do you think the black welfare mom with 12 children that gets all the welfare and the money, you think they're paying for it? Nope. You know, I've got a son that started working here recently and just a little bit, and of course they write him a check when he, you know, after he gets the 20 hours in or so every couple weeks, and so I got to sit down and explain to him. He says, Dad, what's this withholding and FICA and Social Security and all that? And I said, well, let me explain it to you, son. And so we got to talk. Yeah, that's right. We got to talk about it. And it's like, you know, this is the money that you've earned, but that the government takes away from you and gives to Jose Gutierrez, who walks across the border and brings his wife and children up here, and they have to have food to eat, whether they work or not, and they have to have medical care and all this stuff. Now, you know, this money, they tell you, is for your retirement, is to help you if you need it, and to be, you know, retirement for you, Social Security benefits. But it's got to go to these other people. And, you know, when you get up to retirement age and needing that, and you've put all this money in, there's not going to be any money for you. And it is a stealing. It is the Bible even talks about that, you know, that you're not to withhold the pay, and
right.
And our whole system does that. But you know, our children aren't taught that today as a whole. You know, they're taught, no, yeah, you get in and you be proud to be able to donate, and you support the government, and you make it work. You know, pay your taxes, send your money in, you make it work. That withholding allows this, blah, blah, blah. And it's just that babble of Babylon. But
yeah, that always said that if you got your full pay and then you had to walk to a window and pay your FICA, and then you had to walk to another window and pay your withholding, and walk to another window and pay your Medicare, and there'd be a revolution overnight. You know?
There'd have been a revolution in the 1930s. There would have been.
Yeah.
There would have been.
The thought occurred to me, the enemies of God, they have to crash the economy like they did in 08 and then create this stimulus fund. But if you look at what they've done with that stimulus fund, they've done nothing but use it against the people through tightened surveillance and security, through Common Core, through the United Nations, it's just, of course, it's money that's created out of thin air, but
well, when they've taken the real money away, that's all that's left,
and the
people's minds. That's it. That's right. Yeah, and that's what we'll do. And call her a little too late to call. We got to get a church invite out. Come to scripturesforamerica.org tomorrow morning, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast. Join us for church, and
remember, real men don't go to church.
That's right. Real men don't go to church, but they can join us at church, because we're real men and we'll go to this church. So this church you can go to. So we do invite you there. We thank you for joining us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Thanks again. See you at church tomorrow.
Stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, they hide. Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.